What is the church doing in the fight against malaria?
The fight against malaria has now become a real priority for the church worldwide, and especially the churches in Africa. The Nets for Life program, which has been delivered through many local churches throughout Africa, is already showing very, very solid signs of achievement. And in the last year or so, about 500 children a day have essentially had their lives saved by the distribution of impregnated nets, that is, nets with disinfectant and medication sprayed on.
So 500 children a day, but that, according to the statistics, leaves another 600,000 who are going to die in the course of a year. Is that acceptable?
It's not acceptable, and I think we need to go on pushing at what we can do, both at governmental and non-governmental level. I think the churches have been particularly active in training volunteers to take information and medication literally to the doors of people, and in Namibia especially, where there's now a more or less 95% decrease in rates of death. We've had about 1,000 volunteers, church-based, doing just that, delivering to the doors. Now, if more churches, more provinces across Africa can train their lay people to do that, I think we are well on the way to achieving what is, after all, a definitely achievable goal.
Is it about volunteers going out, or is it something that could also be inculcated during sermons that people preach?
I think it's definitely something that can be inculcated during sermons and is being inculcated in just that way in many, many places. Certainly the Nets for Life program has been a very proactive one. It's been pushed by a number of organizations. It's been supported by the Council of Anglican Provinces in Africa. So I believe it is quite deeply owned by the churches.
Is it only Namibia that has made a significant development as far as fighting malaria?
There are about 11 countries where we've seen very significant advances in the last couple of years. There are a couple of others which are in danger of slipping back, but I think for reasons that one can well understand, as in DRC Congo, where I think the ongoing and frequently forgotten level of sheer disruption, violence, butchery in the country at large has set back some otherwise quite effective medical programs.
And malaria doesn't only affect children. There are, of course, the pregnant mothers who can't take medication and they die as a result. What more can the Anglican Church do in helping promote the health of maternal health, as it were?
Throughout Africa, the Mothers' Union plays an absolutely crucial role in dealing with issues of women's health and welfare. And I know that this is a major interest of theirs, so I think that is the channel by which information and care can be delivered there.
Has there been advocacy in terms of creating cheaper drugs or making them available for these mothers and children?
The churches have generally been very active in advocating for cheaper drugs in this as in other areas. And at the moment we're in process of fully launching an international Anglican Alliance for Global Relief and Development and Advocacy, which is meeting as I speak in Nairobi. And this, I know, will be very high on their list of priorities.
Why your personal involvement in the fight against malaria?
My own involvement, I think, is largely out of a sense that this is a goal which we really can achieve, which the churches have a crucial strategic role in responding to. And therefore, if it's doable, it should be encouraged, and we should set ourselves targets that we can reach. It is thinkable that malaria will be almost eliminated by 2020. And that's what we must all be working for. That's why I think it's worth putting energy into this.
By 2020, I don't want to go into the medical things, but they've been talking about resistance of malaria to certain drugs. And it's usually the poorer countries that face this. What can be done?
Apart from drugs, there's the basic question of infection to be dealt with. And that's partly through nets, with the proper medication around that. I mean, the spraying of nets. Also, of course, it's an issue about clean water, and that's something which can't easily be dealt with just by volunteer bodies. That's something where governments and NGOs have to have a very carefully concerted policy. It's going to the root of the problem. And the sadness is that some of these issues were 10 years ago within sight of solution, and generally we've slipped back. It's therefore really, really welcome that the issue of eradicating malaria has gone so visibly up the agenda in the last 5 years or so.
Have you had malaria? Have you been bitten by mosquitoes?
I've been bitten by mosquitoes, but not malarial mosquitoes.
God, some of our listeners would ask that why did God create malaria and then set it among the most vulnerable people?
God doesn't create diseases. Diseases happen when certain natural conditions come together. And where you have ill-protected people living in swampy areas, then that's one of the things that results. Fortunately, God has also given us the mental and intellectual tools to deal with this by developing medication and drugs and means of avoiding this. And we really need now to ask for God's help in sharpening our intelligence in responding to this.
And you mentioned 2020, so you think malaria can be eradicated during your lifetime?
I believe so, and I hope and pray so.